Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first thing we see is a man, and he's tugging a heifer, a cow, with a rope. Come with me, you cow. We just have a few more miles to go. And on they went. Father, I just saw the prophet Samuel. He's coming our way. He's bringing a heifer with him. What could this mean? Go, tell the elders. They need to know. Oh, man, are we in trouble? Samuel kept coming, dragging along the animal with him. He greets the elders of the town. They ask, have you come in peace? I've come in peace to sacrifice to the Lord. Now, consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice. Jesse, you come here, you and your boys. I'm going to consecrate you, and all of you come to the feast. They're sitting down, the feast is prepared, and in comes Eliab. Surely the Lord has chosen this one. He's big, he's strong. No, Samuel, not him. I rejected him. You see his outward appearance. I look at his heart. In comes Abinadab. No, Samuel, not him either. In comes Shema. No, Samuel, not him either. The rest of Jesse's sons come passing by. Not one is chosen by the Lord. Jesse, do you have any other sons? Well, yeah, there's the youngest, David. He's in the field tending the flocks. Send for him. We will not eat till he comes. Go get your brother. When David entered the tent, the Lord said to Samuel, rise, anoint him. He is the one. Samuel rises, takes the horn of oil, and anoints David in the presence of his brothers. That's how we meet David. Forgotten in the field when Samuel invited Jesse and his sons to the feast. Fine in appearance, but he's not impressive like his older brothers that first caught Samuel's eyes. The Lord was emphatic that the heart is what matters most. Not the way people look, but what's in their heart. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. An evil spirit was tormenting Saul. And so a search was made for someone to calm him and help Saul feel better. David, the son of Jesse, is said to play the harp well. And he is a fine-looking man, and the Spirit of the Lord is with him. Saul sends for David, and he enters Saul's service as a musician and soon also becomes one of his armor bearers. When Saul was tormented, David would come and play his harp, bringing relief to Saul. During this time, David would regularly travel back and forth from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. David still had responsibilities tending his father's sheep. The Philistines gather for war. Saul takes his army out, and the battle lines are drawn. Jesse's three older boys, his oldest sons, are with Saul, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shema. They were with Saul and on the battle line, set opposing the Philistines. Each morning and each evening, the Philistine champion would come and stand before the army of Israel. He would taunt Israel. He would defy Israel. We have heard numerous times the impressive size of Goliath. Well over 9 feet tall. But do we really have a sense of what a human being that tall really is? This is a picture of Robert Wadlow. He grew to be 8 feet, 11 inches tall, plus a little. Weighed almost 500 pounds. His dad, standing next to him, is 5'11". Many remember the wrestler Andre the Giant. He was only 7'4". weighed in 475 pounds. Now imagine someone taller than Robert there, built like Andre the Giant. You might get an impression of Goliath. Goliath was an impressively huge man. Thank you, Heather. You can move to the next. Yeah. This Goliath is the champion of the Philistines, a massive man, and no one was willing to confront him. The ears of David hear the taunts of the uncircumcised Philistine, and they burned David's heart to action. Now David come to the camp to bring supplies for his brothers and to bring gifts for the commander of their unit. He left the supplies with the supply keeper, and David went to greet his brothers on the battle line. And while David was there talking with his brothers, out struts Goliath. And when the Israelites saw him, they ran away in great fear. That is what David saw. That's what David came upon. And so David asks, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Eliab, David's older brother, overheard David, and he burned with anger at David. Eliab says, "Why have you come down here? And with whom do you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down to watch the battle." David keeps bringing the matter up with those around him. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Word reaches Saul, and David is brought into the king. David volunteers to meet Goliath. King Saul sees only a boy. Saul can't see David's heart, a heart for the Lord, overflowing with passion for the Lord. And here we see the lesson the Lord taught to the prophet Samuel playing out. Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, David's brothers, have heard Goliath's daily mocking in the morning and mocking in the evening for 40 days. They were not stirred to action. Those three had the build of fighting men, most likely the training of fighting men too. Their hearts lacked passion for the name of God. David hears the taunts of Goliath one time, and his heart for the Lord stirs him. He must do something to honor God and remove the reproach. The army of Israel, under Saul's leadership, had forgotten the Lord. They had forgotten the Lord will fight for his people, and the Lord will deliver his people. It is written in Deuteronomy chapter 20, when you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them. Because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you go about into battle, the priests shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, "Hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory." Saul had forsaken the ways of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Saul did not have the ability to remind Israel, "The Lord is God." Saul did not have in his own life the ability to give Israel faith in the living God. The Spirit of the Lord was upon David. David was reminding the army to trust in the Lord their God. Take heart, Have faith. The odds look bad.
The odds look real bad.
The Lord is God. The Lord is God, and we are His people. By experience, David knows the reality of the power and presence of the Lord in his life. Delivered from lions, delivered from bears. That Philistine will be like one of those bears or one of those lions, dead. Because, this is really important, because he has defied the army of the living God. Goliath, he takes pride in his size and his ability. He sees a little pipsqueak of a kid and laughs a great mocking laugh, calling curses upon David by the gods of the Philistines. Cocky and confident in his great strength, Goliath strides towards David to strike a fatal blow. David sees the spear. David sees the javelin. David sees the sword too. He sees them, all those weapons coming toward him to take his life. Against that sword, spear, and javelin, David comes in the name of the Lord. He comes in the name of the Lord. With the name of the Lord comes great confidence. Goliath will be the carrion for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. The Lord will hand Goliath over to David. The Lord will do this so the world will know. The Lord will do this so the world will know. The world will know there is a God in Israel. All will know that is not sword or spear, but the power of the living Lord, the God of all creation, the Almighty, that will save the day. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Philistines will be defeated, starting with Goliath. God could have struck down Goliath with a bolt of lightning, but he didn't. God works through people who act by faith. Last week we heard about Gideon and the 300 and how they stood with the stone jar, the torch, and the trumpets. How they took their positions around the Philistine army those many years earlier, and they stood with confidence that the Lord will battle for them. As they break the jars, hold the torches up, blow the trumpets, and they leave their swords at their sides because the Lord is doing the battle. But the Lord didn't act until the 300 took their position, raised the torches, blew the trumpets, and shouted for Gideon and the Lord. And here, the Lord won't act until one goes forward against Goliath. Faith in action is powerful, and it can do great things. Just like falling this gargantuan man. The stone strikes Goliath, and he falls to the ground with a great thud. All eyes are stunned, except David. David runs forward and completes the task to demonstrate there is a God in Israel. Faith is to be lived out in daily life. Lived out in such a way that others can easily see there is a Lord in your life. And the Lord is God over your life. The ministry of faith in Christ is to be like David too. to remind everyone that there is a Lord, the living God, and we are his people. To have a heart that burns with passion, like David's heart burned for the things of God. To live a faith that is bold to take on tasks, even though the bottom line can say we can't afford that, faith says we must do that. To live faith is to live boldly and to demonstrate there is a living God and we are his people. Are we living a faith, a living a life that demonstrates great faith? Are we taking on challenges to show the greatness of our God? Are we introducing Jesus to the lost who need the Lord, the living God? Faith that God empowers happens when we take action. And the place to start is on our knees and in prayer. Bold prayer. Asking God to do great things. It starts in your home. Praying with each other. Praying over your children. Asking the Lord to do great deeds in their lives. Praying over your grandchildren, asking the Lord to do great things in their lives, to put in their hearts a passion for the Lord, the living God. And then when they look at each one of us, do they see us living with a passion for the Lord, the one true God? Do we make spending decisions on passion for the Lord and to spread the gospel through the world? Look at the bottom line. We have tightness sometimes to meet the mortgage. But we can build churches in India. That's great faith. We can teach others about Jesus. So I invite you to pray in the coming days and to see how the Lord will stir your heart to action. And as the Lord stirs each one of us, great things will happen and great things will come because we serve a great God and we are his people. Faith in action. You see David, a peepsqueak of a little boy, and you see Goliath. And you say, surely Goliath's going to win. But David had something Goliath did not have. The power of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Well, you have what David had. And you have more because the Spirit of the Lord is living in you. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you will live forever in the presence of God. You have a greatness in you that is greater than what was upon David, because you are a child of God, washed in the waters of baptism. And so we can live with great faith. And we can do even greater things. But it takes each one of us starting in our own homes, living by great faith, changing priorities, if that's how God leads you, and seeking the lost above our own comforts. In today's culture, that takes great faith. Let's live as brothers and sisters in Christ who know the greatness of God is in our midst, and live in such a way and do ministry in such a way through faith in Christ that anyone who looks at us will know God is here and we are his people and we have his favor. Exciting to burn with passion for the Lord. Let's see what the Lord's going to do in the coming weeks and months and years as we act on faith and do great things, not for our glory, but the glory of the living God. Let his glory rise among us. Let his glory rise among us as we live in great faith. Amen.